This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right, there he is. Fresh from Montreal. Yeah, baby. So how much French were you talking last week?
A good bit. It wasn't Montreal, though. It was actually outside of Quebec City.
Ah.
4 hours away from Montreal.
Oh. And you're good with your French? You haven't forgotten anything?
Or I forget words. My pronunciation's perfect and all that, but I forget words. Like very simple words that
you're out of practice. Right,
sorry, you're out of practice. Out of practice, correct?
Right, yeah. That's how I am with Spanish. I'm a complete disaster with Spanish now. Mm-hmm. Total. I mean, not that I was ever really any good, but I really got like terrible now. I mean, like it's really, really bad nowadays because I forget. All right, so we got Fangio in town.
Mm-hmm.
We got Desai in town.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me. What's going on here? Is Fangio realistic, or is he just using a couple of teams for leverage because he's going to go with Sean Payton anyway? But what do you think? And by the way, Ben Albright reported yesterday that apparently the market wasn't nearly as robust as Sean Payton thought it would be, which is kind of odd, but you go ahead.
Well, he's a great coach, but then you have to deal with the Saints, which is, I'm sure, turning off some teams, and the Saints know that they don't need to do anything to accommodate Sean Payton. It's like, oh, you quit on us to go work at Fox. Well, why don't you continue enjoying your gig at Fox? So,
right.
I'm sure that has something to do with it. I don't think there's anybody who would question, you know, the caliber of head coach that Sean Payton is. He's kind of proven it. In addition to Fangio and Desai, we also need to mention Chris Richard and Anthony Campanelli, who also are candidates who will get interviews. Here's the thing is Mike McDaniel wanted Vic Fangio last year, basically was told by the Dolphins, you know, Josh Boyer is your guy and you're staying with him. Now those, what's the word I'm looking for? Those restraints are gone. So if he wants them, it's there for the taking. So you would think he'd be the heavy candidate, the heavy favorite to land the gig. Out of the other ones, I mean, Campanelli obviously has made quite an impression on Dolphin coaching staff. He doesn't have a ton of experience at that level. So is that the kind of candidate we want? Same with Sean Desai. He doesn't have a very long resume in terms of being a D coordinator. He was a D coordinator with the Bears in 2021. Last year, he was co-defensive coordinator or senior or something with the Seahawks. I don't think he had a DC title. But that's only like 2 years. Fangio's a guy with a very long resume. So I would think he's the heavy favorite.
Yeah, if not Fangio, I actually would love Lovie Smith here, actually, because being a former head coach too would be a nice sounding board for McDaniel. Plus, he's kind of he's not really like opposite like Fangio's opposite of McDaniel because he's a fiery dude. Whereas Lovey's also kind of a smooth talker, a calm and cool type of guy. And it might go well also, you know, with McDaniel. Either way, I think they're both fits. You know what I mean? But my problem with going with these other guys is that they're not that much different than maybe Josh Boyer. You know, Josh Boyer could have gotten better and better as a coach. We don't know. When you never gave him a chance to grow. And then you look at some of these guys, it's kind of, if I'm going to, you know, get rid of Josh, I want to get like a proven guy for sure that I feel like, okay, you know, like, dude, what are you going to do? Argue with the resume of Lovie Smith or Vic Fangio compared to Josh to Josh? No, there's no comparison whatsoever. You know what I mean? Or to Desai or any of these other guys. Yeah. You got to go with those kind of guys. So that's the only thing that I'm concerned about, that if you don't go with the established guy, you're you're almost taking the same kind of gamble you were doing in the initially.
No, I completely agree. And truth be told, if you're going to dump Josh Boyer after a year where you don't get anything pretty much out of Ogba until he gets hurt for the last 11 games, you don't have Byron Jones the entire year. You lose Brandon Jones early in the year. You lose Nick Needham early in the year. Why bother bringing him back in the first place?
I mean, I wonder if he asked out. I really wonder, because if he thought he was going to get dangled for, see, because here's the thing, and this is the cynical one in me, and that's because I've been in the business for 30 years, and it just makes us this way. I almost feel like the letting go of Josh was one, for him to go get a new another job right away, or two, he wanted out because he kind of saw the writing on the wall and he didn't want to get hung out to dry. And then, because look at the special teams coach. I think he's the worst coach out of the three from last year, when we include McDaniel, Josh, and him. And yet they're keeping him around. And I almost think like, well, they're going to keep you around until they find the other guy, and then they're going to dump you. And then it's going to be late in this run for you to try to latch on somewhere else. Whereas I wonder if Josh said, yeah, I don't like the, you know, I don't like what I'm seeing here. You know, guys, it might be a good thing for both of us to part ways. And then, you know, he goes his own way. I don't know what's going on in this one. You know, I just wonder, because I just feel like there's a little bit more to this story.
Yeah, no, you make a decently valid point. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Here's the thing, is how much juice does Josh Boyer right now have to be able to land a job?
I don't know. That's my problem. I'm not sure. But if something happens here in the next week or two or three, then we're going to go, okay, he must have had some inkling on something. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't know.
Fair point. Yeah, no, it played out. It played out strangely. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing, like, I guess to me, from the get-go last year, again, maybe they should just let – if McDaniel wanted Vic Fangio last year, they should just let him hire him. But
yeah, I agree. I agree with that one, because changing the defensive scheme with an established guy like that, I'd rather take my chances with that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I probably would have made – I get what they wanted, continuity, so at least the first year would be smoother for the guy. I understand the method behind the madness. But, you know, human Django has never really paid off for this team, and they've been playing it forever.
No, and again, I'm sure they weren't counting on the rash of injuries, again, especially with Byron Jones, because so much of what they've done with this scheme, with the heavy blitzing, you know, requires stud cornerback, stud cover corners in the back end, and they just didn't have that. As well as the replacements played, they're not, like, high-end at this moment. They're not high-end NFL cornerbacks. And on top of that, X wasn't right the whole year. So we're going to mention Byron Jones, and X wasn't right the whole year. So.
Yeah.
That didn't help either.
No, I'm with you there. That one just, all right. So out of the young guys, have you been able to unearth any kind of information on one of those guys that you really like? Like, for me, you hire Fangio or Lovey, not that Lovey's even on this list, but if you hire any of those two guys, I'll be so freaking happy that they got those guys. But out of the young guys, brother, I haven't, maybe next week when I go to Mobile, I'll be able to dig up a little bit more if they haven't made a decision by then. But it's just, do you know anything about these other guys that you would say, okay, this is the guy that I think has the potential to be really, really good?
Nothing major. I just got back in town like last night, so I haven't begun digging. I've kind of reached out a little bit to get some info on Desai, and all I know is, like, his reputation is that he's a heavy climber, that he's got a bright future and all that. Exactly why I haven't, you know, formulated that. Chris Richards, a guy who actually interviewed for the Dolphin head coaching job a while back, so he's obviously very highly thought of. That hasn't changed. And if the Dolphins thought highly enough of him to consider him as their head coach, one would think that, you know, that he's certainly would meet the requirement as a DC. Here's the thing, though, and I looked at his stats for his 3 years as a DC in Seattle. He inherited the best defense in the league and maintained. He was there 3 years as a DC and maintained for the first year. Then there was a slight dip the second year, and then there was a bigger dip the third year. So was the great success of his first year, you know, strictly because of the player? Was he able to maintain what the previous guy had done? You know,
here's the other thing. Let me ask you one more thing on this. Here's my problem with why I want you to hire Lovey, or I want you to hire definitely Fangio. You just nailed it right now. Well, this guy's up and coming. This guy's up and coming. Well, then these guys are looking to become head coaches, and they're not going to be long for you either. So if they do perform well for a year or two, you're gonna be looking for another defensive coordinator in another year or two. If you get Fangio or Lovey, I don't think they're leaving for a head coaching job, because I don't think either guy is going to ever get another head coaching job again, you know, unless they become interim head coaches, because, you know, unfortunately Mike McDaniel lost his job. That's the plus also about getting those established guys. I think you can keep them around for several years and you won't have to worry about changing that position again.
Yeah, and the other factor is you also have more of an idea of what you're getting, because there's a track record there. You know, I like Lovey. My only reservation with Lovey is, as a head coach, I always found him horribly ultra conservative, and I would hate for any of that to rub off on McDaniel. It's okay for him.
If he's a D coordinator, it won't rub off on him. It won't rub off.
One can only hope, because that would be my one concern. Because I mean, I can't deal with the ultra conservatism. Although there'll be sometimes maybe he reins in McDaniel a little bit.
Wade Phillips was the same way. Great defensive coordinator. Don't want him as a head coach, and he worked fine with Sean McVay. You know what I'm saying? Great D coordinator, right? Lovey and Fangio are the same thing. Great D coordinators. Mm-hmm. I don't want him as my head coach.
Completely.
And there's
fair.
Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Okay. That's not an insult. It's just some guys excel as coordinators and some guys excel as head coaches. Or they excel at both. These guys don't happen to excel at both. Although Lovie Smith did get to the Super Bowl with Sexy Rex Grossman.
Sexy Rexy.
That in itself is a pretty damn good accomplishment as a coach. Just got to say, I got to give him some love there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because he had Devin Hester returning every kickoff for a touchdown. And he put Brian Urlacher in the Hall of Fame because of that one season where Zach is still waiting his turn.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, but again, he still got to the Super Bowl with Sexy Rex. So that's
no, correct. Correct.
That in itself is a hell of an accomplishment. All right. What do you got in the championship games, my brother? What's the predictions?
If I go by what my eyes are telling me, I think Cincinnati right now is playing the best of any team in the AFC. Kansas City to me seems, and maybe it's because of my Chiefs fatigue syndrome, to me they've kind of like slid by and just done what they needed to do, and nothing really overwhelming. And then you got Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. Of course, he's not going to stop him from making 75 stupid looking passes and completing them. But Cincinnati just, and by the way, like, what kind of a job is Lou Anarumo, our former Dolphin defensive assistant, doing over there? Man.
And Zach Taylor. And by the way, and they're doing it with Mike Brown.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown.
No, correct. Right? No, they have turned that franchise around. Very impressive. So I think I like – and the one question I have with the Bengals is the same one I had for their game against Buffalo, is that offensive line. I mean, they're replacing three starters, and they completely manhandled the Bills.
Yeah, they did great. They were running on them left and right.
Correct.
So they had good backups. They coached them up well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that staff has done an exceptional job. I picked Cincinnati this past week and took the points. I took the money line and the points with Cincinnati. I thought Cincinnati was a one-hit wonder like Ken Anderson and Boomer. And a couple weeks ago, I just kind of got to the point, like, I'm looking at their defense, and to me, that's the difference. To me, their defense makes plays. Mm-hmm. They find ways to get off the field. They find ways to make big stops. And that, to me, has what's convinced me with the Bengals and why I picked them against Buffalo, and I'm picking them this week against against KC. It's just a team that's really hitting its stride at the right time. Plus, I think Mahomes is going to be worse this week because I think that ankle just ballooned up, and you know, he rode the adrenaline last week. Well, like anybody that has twisted their ankle in a pickup game or whatever, you know it. You can get by for the moment, but once you get home and you unleash that shoe and that thing blows up overnight, you're done. And so I don't think his mobility is going to be that great. And Joe Burrow is just a bad
man. He's a bad man. Yep.
Boy, he's just got that it. It oozes from him. Dude, he's just another level quarterback, and that's
no. Here's another factor about the Bengals, and it kind of is going to defeat my point about making like defending Boyer with all the injuries. The Bengals have done all this; they lost their best cornerback like weeks ago. I mean, and that's not insignificant. I mean, that's some major stuff right there, and doesn't matter. They just keep plugging along.
Yeah, everything. Secondary, they have done an awesome, awesome, awesome job. So, yeah.
The other one, flip a coin, because I think Frisco is just so sound all over the place. But Philly's just so damn good on both lines.
I'm going and Philly.
Push comes to shove, I'll prefer Hurts to Brock Purdy, who continues like he's getting like annoyingly overrated already. Like please understand.
Wait a minute.
He's done a good job. Please realize. Realize what's around him. I mean,
yeah, right. But he does make some tough throws.
Sure.
And especially on third downs, they ask him to make certain throws and he makes them to his credit. And again, he doesn't wow you with any ability. He doesn't have a great arm and he doesn't have great athleticism, but he does have pretty good sense and timing and awareness. And so I give him credit because he does make some tough throws there, and that you can't take away that from the kid. I mean, from the moment he started against Miami, and when Jalen Phillips was barreling down on his ass, and he completed that.
That's the one play.
That's the one play. I said, okay, I need to see more of that, and I've seen more of that. I see it every week. There's a play or two just like it, and you have to say, okay, kid. You get some credit. You got some
impressive. But by the way, that he, right. Since we're talking about him, two quick points I want to make is number one, for the most part, he operates behind a pretty nice cushy pocket, which is not going to happen against that Philly pass rush. Number two, that this guy, no offense, as well as he's played, that this guy is a finalist for offensive rookie of the year. It's a complete joke. I mean, he played five starts in the end of the regular season. Like, come on.
True.
What are we doing? Yes.
But it's part of the hype. That's what it is.
I guess. I mean,
yeah. It is. All right, what do you got going on, Sports Illustrated, you slacker, now that you're back?
Now that I'm back, I got to catch up, and I've got a million possibilities. Obviously, I'm going to dive into the DC search. I started top 10 lists from the 2021 season. 2022 season. Time flies. Did the top 10 offensive plays. I guess now I need to focus on the top 10 defensive plays, but there will be several other lists. I'm going to address the quarterback situation, everything that it entails at some point as well. And there's going to be a lot of stuff coming. And in what exactly which order I'm going to go, not sure, but there's going to be a lot of stuff. Check it out on alldolphins.com.
Exactly. You got to bookmark alldolphins.com and follow them on Twitter. You see it right there. If not, you're listening to the podcast. It's at Poopart NFL, baby. Alan, we will catch up on Friday, my friend. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
You got it, my man. There you go. Alan Poupar in our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.